Was it necessary for Jesus to come into our world? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us that God and we together cannot handle. Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, then you can enter this week with more peace, more tranquility, more trust in God. How was your weekend? Was it a busy weekend? Have you noticed anymore all the days blur together? There used to be a time when Saturday and Sunday were not quite as hectic as the other days of the week. But now with a lot of people, both husband and wife, working outside the home, they rely on Saturday and Sunday to get a lot of chores done, to get a lot of shopping done, and they go frantically all weekend. Sabbath, that's not an experience a lot of people have anymore. A Sabbath is a rest period. Sunday was meant to be a day in which we rest and spend special time with the loved ones, beginning with the God who loves us unconditionally, and then with our family and friends. So if you had a more hectic, crazy weekend, then all the more I need to say to you, please, trust God today. Let Him work powerfully in your lives. God will guide you. Ask for the help. All right, now the scripture passage I want to share with you today, it comes from John chapter 12, beginning with verse 44 to 50. Then Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I've come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." End of the scripture passage. Now, using this scripture passage, I want to go to the question I asked at the beginning of the program. And that question is, was it necessary for Jesus to come into the world? The traditional answer is, yes, it was necessary because we sinned and he had to come into the world to save us. But I want to share with you something that a Franciscan scholar from the Middle Ages named Duns Scotus, what he said, because I think there may be a lot of truth to what he said. Duns Scotus said that Jesus was always going to come into the world. That was the plan of the Trinity, the Godhead, from all eternity. However, Scotus says, once we sinned, then Jesus said, all the more reason for me to come into the world, to save the world, meaning you and I, we all get saved by Jesus, to save the world from darkness and from sinfulness. Now the question could be asked, if we had never sinned, would Jesus have come into the world? And what Duns Scotus says is yes, because he would have come into the world anyways to show us what the Father was like, to have the kind of solidarity and love with us, to show us what it means to be fully human and fully alive. And I think today's scripture passage highlights that. So let's go over the scripture passage again. Then Jesus cried out, When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. Now listen to this next sentence, because I think it makes this point that Dan Scotus was trying to make. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. Okay? So in seeing Jesus when he walked the earth, we got, the disciples got to see the Father, to see the pattern of love, because God is love, St. John says. Now, the scripture continues in verse 46. I've come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words, but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. So that's the primary reason we hear all the time. Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins. And that's absolutely true. But it's interesting that Jesus says, I did not come into the world to judge it, but to save it. Okay, we continue with verse 48. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. In other words, our salvation or our condemnation depends on how we respond to the word of Jesus, who is the Word of God, and the Word was made flesh, as we know from John's Gospel. So when people say God sends somebody to hell, God really doesn't send anybody to hell. They're all volunteers. People go to hell because of the choices they make, especially as regards whether they respond to the Word that was spoken to them. The Word Jesus in the first place, and all the advice he gave us, all the wisdom he gave us, all of the evidence he gave us of an afterlife and what it will mean to be in union, the beatific union, the beatific vision with God for all eternity. Now in verse 49, Jesus says this, For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. So I think that Dan Scotus would say something like this. Jesus would have come into the world anyways to show us the pattern of living, to give us an understanding and a vision of what our loving Father who created us is like, and to repeat to us time and time again, as he did so often, how much the Father loves us, and the Father wants us to be saved. There's a universal salvific will of God that St. Paul talks about in 1 Timothy. You know, and for us to be able to respond. So, in this passage, we find out that we are the ones that really condemn ourselves by not responding to Jesus, by not giving our wholehearted acceptance of his teaching about what it means to live in the light, not into the dark, and to respond in such a way that we can spend eternity with God in heaven. You know, there's a way of spelling sin this way, little s, big I, little n, because it's our ego that often causes us not to respond to the Word of God as we should. There's a poem that I often use in my preaching, and the poem goes like this. I lived for myself, I thought for myself and none beside, as if Christ had never lived, as if Christ had never died. And you know people who go through life just exactly like that. They might even profess to be Christians, but when you see how they live their day-to-day life, they're not living it the way that would manifest the Christ light in them, the Christ life in them. You know, Jesus came to save us from our dark side. If you ever saw the Star Wars movies, especially the first Star Wars movie, where Luke Skywalker is starting to understand that he has a special mission in life, and the dark side, which is a real easy way of describing the evil, the fight inside of us between evil and goodness, between dark and light, and Yoda, who is his master, trying to teach him the way of the light, the way of a Jedi Knight, Yoda says a very interesting thing. He says, don't give in to your dark side. Luke, don't give in to your dark side. Well, he could say, Scott, don't give in to your dark side. Teresa, don't give in to your dark side. And isn't that what Jesus is really saying to us in the scriptures? Don't give in to your dark side. I am the light of the world. Hand it over to me. Let me be the person who can really lead you out of darkness into light and lead you along the path to eternal life. So I would agree with Duns Scotus. I really do believe that Jesus would have come into the world anyways to show us the pattern of living. And all the more when we were so terribly wounded by original sin, he came in to save us from our sins and to bring us from darkness into light. You know who I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for doctors who are internists. Often people go to an internist who is able to deal with multiple issues that they face with their internal organs. So we ask God to give internists special graces today that they will have the wisdom and the great ability to determine what the illness is that's causing people such discomfort. Now, our food for thought today comes from Colin Brown, and I like this. He writes, "The day people stop bringing you their problems is the day you have stopped leading them." Obviously, this is great advice for a pastor, for a priest, but for a boss, and in some ways even for parents. You know, sometimes parents, mothers often become melancholy because their kids are now in their teens, late teens, early 20s, and they feel that their kids don't need them anymore. That's not true. Your kids will always need you, and they will bring you their problems if you listen and don't comment real quickly, and if you share some of the life wisdom that they don't have yet because they haven't lived as long as you have. And most of the time, we gain wisdom by living long enough. All right, today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. Morris, an 82-year-old man, went to the doctor to get a physical. A few days later, the doctor saw Morris walking down the street with a gorgeous young lady on his arm. A couple of days later, the doctor spoke to the man and said, "You're really doing great, aren't you?" Morris replied, "Just doing what you said, doctor. Get a hot mama and be cheerful." The doctor said, "I didn't say that. I said you got a heart murmur, so be careful." It's good. I like that. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. You can send me your prayer intentions. You just drop me a note and let me know you enjoy the program. You can let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. There's no charge for it. It tells you where I'm preaching. There's always humor. There's always inspiration in the newsletter. You know, I certainly would ask you to help me keep my hospital for the very poor and sick open down in Oaxaca, Mexico. And you can make a check out to TASH, T-A-S-H, Inc. It stands for the Anacetar Hospital. I named it after my mother. And you could send that to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And I always encourage you to visit my website at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord.